Sister Zaima, are you there?
Yes, greetings.
Ah, okay. You hear that in the background?
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have Sister Zaima online. Hold tight, sis. All right, Sister Zaima, it's been a long time.
It has been a long time, but lots of good things are happening, so we have to give thanks.
And we give thanks for the call, and you want to let the listeners know what you've been doing since we last talked.
Oh, wow. Lots of things.
Many
lots
things.
Lots of good things, yeah. I have a new album out called Overcome that I recorded in Jamaica at Tuff Gong with a lot of wonderful people like Sly and Robbie, the Gladiators, lots of great musicians on there, Dalton Brownie, you know, just a lot. Ethel Collins, my favorite keyboard player, and just, you know, lots of good things. I was working with the Gladiators. I went to Brazil with them, and I'm back to London doing some more recording, did some shows in Europe, and just lots of wonderful things. I'm in the process of actually moving to Jamaica, so I'm leaving in about a week to go down there and try to get things in order. So lots of wonderful things happening.
Oh, wow, sis. I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that. Wow. And the album is doing well, I take it.
Yeah, I've really gotten a great response from it, so I'm really pleased. I finally feel like one of the reasons I called this album Overcome was I finally feel like I've gotten to a place where I've overcome a lot of obstacles as an artist,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm finally, you know, at a level where I feel I'm close to where I want to sound and close to doing what I want to do, and that, you know, more doors have been opened for me, that people are actually accepting me as an artist and not...
okay. We know about that. It's a man-dominated, business, and then the women take back seat where they shouldn't be taking the back seat, but it's happened that way, and it's a struggle.
It's a struggle, but this is another reason why the album Overcome is that, you know, when we put Jeff first and when we strengthen ourselves spiritually, there's no struggle that we can't overcome. You know, whether it's on, you know, a financial level or a physical level or whatever kind of level, that we put Jeff first and strengthen ourselves, so it's nothing that we can overcome because we can tap into his power. And the greatest power we have is spiritual. So, you know, that's the message that I want to get out to everybody, that they can... When I realized that I could do this for myself, I said, man, anybody can be doing this. You know, we can do this in any part of our lives. Just try to apply to different parts of our lives and, you know, make ourselves be able to overcome all the obstacles that we have to deal with and have a victorious and happy life, you know.
Same. Wow. And you've met all these great musicians, and over the years, I'm sure you feel fortunate that you've...
Like dreams come true. You know, the Gladiators are my favorite reggae band, so when I got the opportunity to work with them, it was really a thrill. Because, well, the other thing is, for me, I mean, this is why I say talk about divine intervention, because, you know, the Gladiators are pretty much, you know, up in the hills. Nobody even knows that they're still in Jamaica. Nobody knows how to reach them. They're kind of, you know, off doing their own thing, which is probably why they sound the way they do. They have that unique sound. And so just to be able to get in touch with them, and then, you know, to really be able to vibe with the group and be able to continue working with them, it's just really been a huge blessing for me. So that, to me, is just a miracle, because most of them don't even know how to reach them, let alone have the opportunity to work with them and tour with them and really be blessed like that. And Sly and Robbie also, that's a dream come true for me, because they're just, you know, just wizards at what they can do. They're just, you know, so talented. It was just a breeze to work with them in the studio. So I just feel like, wow, you know, I get to get all these great blessings, and, you know, who am I to get all these things? So,
well,
I feel fortunate.
It's time, because I remember 1985, I saw this album, Zaima, and, you know, I just said, well, let me just, it looks interesting. And I picked
something
it up.
Different.
Yeah, man, your locks sure have gone a lot longer since that album shot, man.
Yeah, that happens in 20 years, you know, stuff like that happens. Hopefully I've grown as an artist, too, you know, I mean, the people that still like my first album as their favorite album, but I'd like to think that I've progressed and, you know, gotten stronger as a songwriter and as a singer, hopefully.
Oh, you have, but you know what I would say, being that people like that album, maybe you should think about doing some of those tunes over again.
Well, I actually did do Vision of Trouble was one of the songs on that album that I did over on Overcome.
Right. Yeah, because I remember that, man. I said, wow. And you know it had the vinyl sound. Because has that ever been put on CD?
Well, I've been trying to have a time to put it on CD, but I really haven't had the chance. So it's in the works, but it's just a matter of, I have some friends that were going to do it for me, and they've been busy, so just a matter of either they doing it, finishing that up, or me getting my act together and actually going to the studio and doing it. But I've been so busy, you know, with being on tour and trying to get this album out and things that, and working with the Gladiators. A lot of what I do for them is to try to help them out with some of their management things as far as helping them out with their website and stuff like that. So I've got a lot of things going on. And that's really the only thing that's really holding me back right now.
Okay. Now, let me ask you your experiences in England, Europe, but England specifically, your feeling and the vibe that you get when you travel over there.
Well, England is a really different scene over there. They have more of a mainstream scene. They basically like, Jamaican reggae and their own style of roots reggae. There's a whole, like, subculture of reggae with the sound systems there. It's really difficult for live shows. There's very few live shows, mm-hmm. unless you're a major touring act. But for local bands, there's almost virtually no live music except for the sound system thing. So what a lot of people do is go in the studio and record, and then the sound systems have their events and will, present new music that way, as opposed to people doing, live shows. So it's very much a sound system-oriented and studio-oriented scene over there, at least for the roots reggae part. And
right.
Very very vibrant and alive. It's a really hardcore following for it.
And you work with Blackamix?
Yeah, I've been working with Blackamix, and I've worked with a couple other studios. This last time I was there, I recorded with Stingray, and also with a studio called Roots Injection.
Okay.
And I get a lot of offers when I'm there, but it's just there's only so much time, and I can only do so many things when I'm there. I'm busy running, trying to promote the album. I was trying to go to La Holland to rehearse for some shows I was having over there. So there's a lot of things always happening. So I'm always limited as to what I can do, which is why I seem to go back every year to try to see how much more I can get done.
Well, being that you loved out on that West Coast, you loved across the way, and you loved here, but we don't get to see you on this side, Sister Zayma.
I really would like to, but I think the issue is, the transportation. If I was based on the East Coast, I'm sure I would do a lot more shows. On the West Coast, it's much easier, but trying to get me in a band all the way across the country tends to be a big expense, and that's not something that a lot of promoters are willing to try to work with right now. Another thing is I don't really have somebody that's actively, aggressively booking, me. So that's the other thing. It's really difficult in reggae to find management and agents.
It's true.
It's very few. And the ones that are doing it, they're going with the bigger acts, which are, much easier for them. They can make a call. People will call them.
Well, that's why I give these guys from the VI enough respect, because they take these vans and go across the whole place. I mean, and not go to hotels. I mean, sleep in the van. I said, man, that is a true love for
trust
them.
Me, it's rough. People think that, life on the road is all just glamorous hotels and you're just hanging out, and it's all the fun part is when you're on stage, and that's why we all do it. But in between time, you're in the van trying to get some sleep, or even if you get a hotel, maybe you get 3 hours of sleep because you got to leave and go to the next drive to the next show or fly to the next show or whatever.
Right.
So you're not getting any sleep. You don't know what kind of food you're getting half the time. The food might be late, or there's nothing available, so you just have to eat fast food or whatever. So it's not as glamorous as people envision it to be. It's very grueling. You don't get any sleep, and you're always tired. And but when you get on, when you hit the stage, it's just hour or whatever or two really makes it worthwhile. But the other 12 or 20 or whatever, quite so glamorous.
You know what I want to ask you about is that festival that happened in Jamaica that you performed at. That was a while back now.
There was a performed on Rebel Salute, which was earlier this year in January, and then Western Consciousness, which was in April of the previous year.
Okay, the latest one, how was
Rebel
that?
Salute. Yeah, oh, Rebel. It was fantastic. It was it's really a nice show. It's put on by Tony Rebel. He really does a great job. There's thousands of people there. It's in St. Elizabeth at Alligator Pond at the Port Kaiser Sports Arena, and they have all the major artists, you know, on there pretty much. Lots, but it's roots and culture, so it's not really a dance hall show. It's definitely a roots and culture show. He doesn't permit any meat to be sold on the property. They have a huge, you know, stage, a great, you know, backstage area where you can... what I like to do is, because it's an all-night show, I mean, it starts at like 8 o'clock and goes to like 10, 11 the next morning.
Wow, yeah.
So when you get tired in the middle of the night, they have a backstage, they have a screen that you can just sit in a chair and watch the screen. So you can still watch the artist as you're, you know, dozing off, or if you wait and go see an artist, you can see, you know, who's up next and then go out and watch them in front or whatever. But it's really a great show, and I was kind of nervous performing on that show because if Jamaican audiences don't like they can float, you know, throw bottles and do stuff like that. But
I know
it didn't happen, you know, the previous year at Western Consciousness. But still, you just don't know what kind of reaction you're going to get. So I came out and did my first song, and there were no bottles, and people were actually when Jamaican crowds like you, they have these like air horns that they blast, or they have torches that they you know will light, or you know they'll fling something, you know, like take a towel and you know whip it in the air or something like that. So. I got a good. That's what I heard when I finished the first song, so I could take a deep breath and go on to the next one. And I got a good response. And so I'm hoping that if I'm going to be in town and not you know touring this next January, that I can try to go and get on the show again. So.
Well, I feel fortunate that I had the privilege of seeing you perform twice, actually. You know, in Boston, that was what, 2 years ago.
Yes.
And but. You know, I know you have gotten better since then.
because
the more, well, that's the reality. The more you do it, the more you're going to improve on it. You know, that's the way I look at it.
That's
like you said
goal.
It yourself, from 1985, you know that you've gotten better from that time to this time. And I'm figuring from the time I saw you, listen, with the musicians and just what's inside of you. You know, you're coming out with some good music, sis.
and also, like, you know, going to Jamaica, that's one of the reasons I want to go to Jamaica, because it's just a vibe that you get down there that you don't really get when you... And L.A. is a big, you know, it's the entertainment capital of the world, but there's also a lot of, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah out here and a lot of unpleasant vibes, which I would imagine you probably have some of that in New York. I really haven't seen
it
in New York.
I would say Boo York.
Yes. So, you know, I really want to go to Jamaica to get the whole, you know, wholesome vibes. And really, when you're around the music like that, and around so many talented people that are in Jamaica, it really makes you grow as an artist. So, plus, it's much cheaper to live there, too. So,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I'm just looking forward to being down there and really getting more of that vibe, and I think that's going to help me on a you know spiritual level to grow too. So.
All right, now let's talk about a little bit about what you feel about the youth today, and any kind of messages that you might have for young people, and specifically young women. Well, I won't say specific because the boys need it just as much as the girls.
Yeah,
actually.
Well, this goes back to what I was talking about earlier. That I think that the greatest power we have is spiritual. And no matter what we want to do in life, if you want to get education, if you want to be, better ourselves financially, or if you're a single parent raising children or whatever, you know, the difficulties that you face, when we strengthen ourselves spiritually, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. And we tap into supernatural powers that can, are at our veil, that we can, you know, just conquer things on a higher level. And, you know, it just transcends everything. It just transcends every barrier that you have to deal with, whether even language barriers. It transcends, you know, gender barriers, age issues, cultural issues, racial issues. When you strengthen yourself spiritually, and you're just dealing in a whole spiritual plane, you're rising above all that, and there's nothing that you can accomplish in life to improve your life and to be happy, too, because sometimes you can have all the riches in the world and be miserable. I see that in Los Angeles all the time. And it doesn't matter about, you know, all the financial things. It matters about, you know, where your spiritual status is and how you, you know, what your heart is and what it's filled with. It's filled with, you know, the love of the Almighty. then it doesn't matter what condition your body is in. You have peace and you have joy. And that's the greatest thing, because whatever you want to do in life, once you have that, you know, you're gone clear. And to not be, you know, to put, you know, Jah first and not be distracted by the bling-bling and the things of the world that is going to leave you empty and take a lot of your time in life.
Okay, now here's a good question. When was the first time that you heard reggae music?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think. I think it was when I was listening to a rock station. They were playing one of Bob Marley's albums, and it was completely different from the other stuff that they were playing, and I was just totally drawn to it. And so I got that album and played it over and over and over again. Basically wore it out. I just loved the rhythms and the vibes, and of course, you know, Bob Marley. So, and the lyrics, and it was just, you know, I'm a very spiritual person, so I think I just really connected with it spiritually. And that's the same thing that I'm trying to do with my music. So I think that it was Bob Marley that was the first one that I heard, for most people, I think.
Well, when we play your music on the show, we're going to, and being that you said that, we're going to let the people remember that. So when they hear these lyrics coming out of you, they'll know that some of these, that Bob was a heavy influence in some of the lyrics that you have. And I appreciate all of the CDs that you put out, really.
Thanks.
You know, and I want to say respect due. I want to thank you for calling. And I want to let the listeners hear a little bit more of the Overcome CD. And where are you? What are you doing next? When are you playing next? Do you have any engagements for playing anywhere soon?
I've had I'm getting ready to go to Jamaica, so I had to turn down some shows that I was supposed to have the last couple of weeks. But I'm hoping to be touring with the Gladiators in Europe. They're supposed to be touring Europe in November. And they want me to come, but I haven't heard the final word yet, so I'm still waiting, and I hope everything works out. So that would be for about 3.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're supposed to be going back to Brazil in, I think, January. And I'm supposed to go with them to Brazil in January, too, so I'm really excited about that.
How was the reaction in Brazil?
Oh, it was phenomenal. The Gladiators are like superstars down there. Every show was sold out, and you just go and play in front of, you know, 10,000 people, and you know, the Gladiators would come out and do an instrumental, and of course the crowd just went nuts. And so I came out, and I really could have done anything. I could have just been a disaster. They still would have loved it. But I did get a really good response, and then I would come out, and there's a tune on the album called "Son and Daughter of Jah,"
uh-huh.
In combination with Al Griffiths. So they do their set, and then Al brings me out to come and sing that song with him. And then the crowd, I got a good response from the crowd at that time. So I felt like it was not only a huge success for the Gladiators, but it was also a successful tour for me also, so I really give thanks for that.
Wow. Well, we want to again thank you, and you know we're on the World Wide Web. So we want to thank the listeners for tuning in and listening to Sister Zama, because she has some very conscious and positive messages for the world, actually. And I would say Surf Journey and Jah Guide and all of the works that you do in the future, my sis.
Well, I give thanks for your support. You know, you've been a great support to me over all the years that I've known you, and I really appreciate it. And this is a great opportunity for me once again to share the airwaves with you, and it's been all my pleasure, so give thanks.
Well, I want you to get to this East Coast, though.
I'm ready.
All right, sis.
Yes, Jagat.
One love, Jagat. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Sister Zama. And here she is, Sister Zama. Let the music play. With the Gladiators, no less.
I'm a son of Jah, who give you friends to the most I can. You sing my strong. Joy the ways that I gave you, go on.
I am a daughter of Jah, giving praise to the Most High Jah. You sing my song, I sing the words of Jah. Yes, I got to give praise to Jah, praise to Jah. Never forsake me, oh Jah Jah. They're backbiting to destroy me. Wanna bring come, iniquity and jealousy got to be strong. No place for the weak, Lion of Judah, they can't touch me. When his presence surrounds me, I am a daughter of Jah. Give me praise to the Most High Jah. In my song, I sing the words of Jah. Yes, I got to give praise to Jah, praise to Jah.
A real son of Jah, who give him praise to the Most High Jah. Yes, in my song, I sing the word of Jah. Yes, and I got to give praise to Jah, praise to Jah. Never forsake me, working iniquity works to trump me, sending propagandas against me, telling their lies upon me. A real son of Jah, who give him praise to the Most High Jah. You sing my song, I sing the word of Jah. You send out that.